Hey everyone, welcome in to another daily editorial here on the KE Report. We're getting an update from Abra Silver Resource Corp, traded on the TSX Venture Exchange under the symbol ABRA and on the OTC under the symbol ABBRF. We have a couple individuals joining us from the company. First, John Miniotis, President and CEO, as well as David O'Connor, Chief Geologist. Now, the company is focused in Argentina. The company has an advancing asset, gold and silver asset, called the Diablillos Project, as well as a somewhat newer copper play. We've talked about this asset before. That is the La Copita Project. Again, both of these assets are in Argentina. Drilling has been continuing at Diablillos. The company is just starting the phase three program, as well as moving through some of the economic studies, including a PFS, which is on track for this year. But I want to start with this La Copita project, because we just had some drill results, the initial drill result from this project that hit some long widths that had some decent copper grades in it. Before we get into the actual drill results, John, take us through a bit of the history on this project now, please.
Sure. Yeah, no, thanks, Corey. I'd be happy to. We always keep an eye out for unique M&A opportunities. I think that's how Dave and I sort of struck the deal on Diablillos 2.5 years ago now. We always identified the San Juan province as hosting probably, you know, the world's most prospective copper porphyry belt on the planet. And so once we entered Argentina with Diablillos, I mean, it was a bit of a no-brainer for us to continue to look for other opportunities in the country. And that's how La Copita really came up in stages, I guess. So we initially signed the first deal on that property back in March 2020, where we picked up, you know, a large land package. It was over 50,000 hectares for an upfront payment of, I think it was only $65,000. So, you know, very, very attractive terms here. And of course, some stage payments over a 5-year period, but definitely very, very attractive terms. And the property had some interesting historical drilling done by a previous company called Viceroy. And they had conducted some shallow drilling and got some very interesting initial results. But then as we evaluated the property more closely, looked at the historical drilling, I'd say, you know, Dave and the team really liked what they saw. And, you know, we believed this project had the potential to be a major, you know, major porphyry here. So then last year in 2021, we struck a deal with the neighbors to the south and ended up consolidating a large land package, which is now over 70,000 hectares. And again, that deal was extremely favorable as well, very little cash up front. And so, you know, with that consolidated project, we drilled our initial two holes earlier this year. And just the other day, obviously got back the results. And lo and behold, we, you know, got a significant intercept here of potential major copper porphyry. And I'm sure Dave can walk us through that in more detail, if you like.
I guess, Dave, let's throw it over to you. You know, when you look at a copper porphyry system, sometimes they come in clusters, and I know you're just getting started, but walk everybody through why you're excited about this property and where some of the other targets are that you'd like to follow up on next.
Okay, well, as you know, there's a porphyry belt on the frontier between Chile and Argentina, going all the way along the boundary of the San Juan province, starting from Filo del Sol, et cetera, in the north, all the way down to Los Azules, which is south of us. We are within that belt. We are 60 kilometers north of Los Azules. And we have, as John mentioned, a 70,000 hectare land package. And we've drilled one of the targets on that, the most obvious target, which is called Yaretas, which was drilled previously by Viceroy. Viceroy drilled into a shallow zone, shallow holes into an epithermal system, which is above the porphyry. We reviewed the surface geology and geochemistry, and we invited Richard Sillitoe, the world expert on porphyries, out to go and walk around with us. And he helped us re-site drill holes, and we aimed at the porphyry system as opposed to the more obvious target, which was the high sulfidation system above. The porphyry system, of course, is a much bigger target. So hole number two goes into the porphyry system. The indications are of the surface geochemistry and alteration system that the dimensions will be in excess of 1 kilometer and more like between 1.5, approximately 1.5 kilometers diameter of the porphyry system. And we've drilled this first hole, which hit porphyry mineralization over several hundred meters. The hole stopped at 1,202 meters down the hole for two reasons. One is we were getting worried about the capacity of the drill rig, and we didn't want to ruin the equipment. And the second reason was that it was starting to deflect away from the objective, which was to drill into the porphyry system. So we hit sulfide porphyry mineralization from around about 550 meters down the hole and onwards. We got 82 meters of 105 grams per ton molybdenum in the top part of the system. And then beneath that, we got 225 meters of in excess of 0.4% copper equivalent, including copper and moly. And then down towards the end of the hole, we got another 146.5 meters of around about 0.3% copper equivalent down to the end of the hole. The mineralization stopped in the hole, and the last couple of meters was around about 0.65% copper. So based on the dimensions of the alteration system and the surface geochemistry and the intercept that we've got, we think we're well in the running for the size of project, which has been shown to be at Los Azules, Jose Maria, etc., which is sort of 1 billion ton projects with anything from 0.3 to 0.5% copper equivalent, basically.
So, Dave, how do you think you go about further attacking this? Because these are a great start to this project, but it can take a lot to drill out these big porphyries. So where do you go from here after these two holes?
Right. We now know where the mineralization is, but we don't know, of course, the dimensions of it. We've only got one hole into it. But based on that hole and what we know of the geology, we're now going to drill perpendicular to that from further down the mountain. That hole, that hole number two, collared at around about 4,200 meters above sea level. We're going to be collaring from 300 meters lower down in the valleys, because now we know where to aim for, and we've got four holes planned based on what we know so far, essentially drilling from east to west, and we will end up with a three-dimensional picture, only a few holes, but at least a three-dimensional picture, which will give us a good idea of the potential size of the mineralized system. Now, what I might add is that the hole that we've drilled is intersected what is called the sericite zone, which is a lower temperature zone of mineralization and generally lower grade. We haven't hit the potassic zone, which is higher grade and higher temperature and normally higher grade, which would be adjacent to the progenitor intrusive itself, the porphyry intrusive. So the porphyry intrusive is the target and the halo around it of potassic alteration. That's what we haven't hit yet, and that's what we'll be aiming for in October when we start drilling, depending on the weather.
Well, it'll be interesting to keep following along as the drilling continues and testing those targets. John, I'm going to throw it back over to you. Just from a branding standpoint, when you think about Abra Silver, most people think about the Diablillos project, you know, being more silver dominant with some base metals, but now you've got a copper porphyry with moly. So how would you like investors to think about it now that you really have two projects on the go?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, of course, Diablillos continues to be the flagship project. That's an advanced stage exploration project. You know, we've just now completed on that our phase two program, which was an additional 20,000 meters. And I mean, from that program, we still have another 16 holes pending in the lab. So expect a lot more news flow coming back from Diablillos shortly here. And then we're going to be updating the resource estimate around September and coming out with a pre-feasibility study in January. So Diablillos continues to move along very, very nicely, continue to have excellent success there. That's the flagship project. La Cuevita is, of course, early days, but yeah, blue sky potential ahead of us here. And importantly for investors, I mean, you absolutely get that for free in our valuation. In fact, you know, we're trading at a fraction of the value of our Diablillos project. And so, yeah, Cuevita provides a huge amount of upside potential further down the road. we could consider spinning that off to our shareholders, or looking at other opportunities to unlock value. But for the time being, I mean, we're super excited to have two properties with excellent upside potential. We'll be drilling them both and looking to unlock as much value for shareholders as possible here.
So let's talk about some of that drilling at Diablillos, because you just mentioned 20,000 meters just completed, a phase three program, 15,000 meters is underway. What is the strategy here? Because the company already has a resource of about 90 million ounces of silver and 1 million ounces of gold. You mentioned that'll be updated, but in terms of these drill programs, was it simply to expand on the resource? Was it to upgrade the resource, or was it to make new discoveries?
Yeah, so I'd say a bit of both. So at Diablillos, I mean, we already have, as the PA indicated, I mean, we already have an economic project as the basis. So it has an after-tax rate of return of over 30%, but there's still significant opportunities to continue to expand the value there. And so expanding the initial resource was the key priority for our phase two program, which has now been completed. And of course, we'll be announcing the updated resource in September, and we expect both gold and silver to increase. I mean, but then we're looking to increase the throughput rate. We're looking to improve the strip ratio, looking to improve the silver recoveries. So we've done a significant amount of metallurgical test work here over the last year. And so all of that's going to be reflected in the updated pre-feasibility study, which is due out around January. And so, continuing to move that project, de-risk it further, and advance it towards a construction decision, which is expected to, could be achieved in less than 2 years here. So in early 2024, the Diablillos project could, be ready for construction. But yeah, like you mentioned, in parallel, there's still significant discoveries at that same project. So there's a new southwest zone now emerging. Dave's going to be testing out a few other nearby targets as well as part of this upcoming phase three program here. So, it's best of both worlds. You have a de-risk project that we're moving forward. And so, there's value there already, but there's, blue sky potential from these potential new discoveries here.
Well, Dave, let's get your thoughts on some of that blue sky upside. I mean, I know that you're still building the resources and you're still waiting on 16 holes from that phase two program, but for the phase two program that's remaining to be released and the phase three, what are some of the new targets that you're most excited about, Dave?
What we have now is around about 40 million tons, Whittle Pit constrained resource. It's constrained within the pit that was put around it for the PEA. We've been expanding the potential of that with our drilling so far to the northeast and southwest now. There are other peripheral targets around that we've been developing, reviewing the geology and the old historical drill holes. And we have targets around it. One that I'm particularly interested in is called Cerro Bayo, which could be another focus, another center of mineralization, with Oculto being one focus, the focus that was the PEA and where the resource actually is, the million ounces of gold and 90 million ounces of silver. But there are these other peripheral targets around the Whittle Pit. And that's where we're going now. But talking about excitement, if you want to be excited, there is a porphyry system northeast of Oculto. It's about 4 kilometers northeast of the Oculto zone where the resource is. And there we have very shallow porphyries. And we have been developing targets to drill for porphyries there. However, rather than drill porphyries there, the most obvious target, of course, is the one that we've just drilled at La Coipita. So what we're trying to focus on at Oculto is to expand the oxide cyanide leachable resource and leave the porphyry target for later.
So, John, on the potential, I guess, production or the further de-risking here of the resource that's already known, especially after that resource update, pre-feasibility coming, and then you're moving into feasibility and all that. When does it come to the point that you need to make a construction decision here, also balancing out the fact that there is still a lot of exploration to do, it sounds like?
Yeah, that's right. So those two are moving sort of in parallel here. And so, you know, we expect we'd have a feasibility study completed, a full like definitive feasibility study, as well as permits in place at Diablillos in the first half of 2024. So less than 2 years away from where we sit today. But between now and then, I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, there's likely going to be, we expect some new zones that emerge here as we continue to drill, we continue to expand the resource. And so, you know, we're moving the project forward, but at the same time, you know, continuing to unlock value through the drill bit. And so, you know, it's a dual strategy where, you know, the valuation's clearly backstopped by what we already have. I mean, for our shareholders, it's not like you're relying on us doubling the resource in order to justify our share price. I mean, the share price is trading at a small fraction of what we already have. But on top of that, I mean, we know there's a lot more upside here at Diablillos, at, you know, some of these nearby porphyries that Dave just mentioned as well. And of course, now on a new project that we have at La Coipita. So tons of upside here. And, you know, I think we're just focused on maximizing the rate of return on our exploration dollars.
I think I might just add, John, and that something that you just touched on is that for the PEA, we assumed a 7,000 ton per day operation, which was convenient from a practical point of view of size of equipment and in relation to previous studies that have been done. But that gave a 16-year mine life, and that doesn't make the most economic sense. And we've been expanding the resource, and it looks to us right now as though you might want to double the throughput to optimize the economic value of the project, especially considering that we're expanding the resource. So, you know, a 14,000 ton per day operation would seem to make much more sense economically than a 7,000 ton per day operation at this stage. And I just want to make a little point that my first year out of university, I worked underground in South Africa in a copper mine, and it had been operating for about 50 years and we were still exploring. So, I mean, when do you say, okay, let's start mining? We could start mining Oculto right now, but you want to optimize the size and the economics of the project before you stick a shovel into the ground, basically.
That's a good point, Dave. And sometimes it makes sense to double the throughput, bring the cost down and the economies of scale that come along with that. So we'll be following along when the PFS comes out just to see what kind of changes are made there. And as you work towards the feasibility study after that, John, are there any other key steps like network, permitting, other things that need to happen as you further de-risk this towards the PFS in January?
Yeah, that's been happening already behind the scenes. And so we've done, you know, significant amount of metallurgical test work. We just now sent a second batch of met samples to the lab. And so we'll have all of that updated for the upcoming pre-feasibility study. Permitting continues to advance as well. So we recently completed our baseline study there. That was, you know, took us over 14 months to complete that. And so, yeah, continue to move things along very nicely in addition to, of course, exploring.
What kind of cash is the company sitting on here, John? We always need to cover that in market times like this where cash has become a bit harder to raise.
That's right. Yeah, no, thankfully. I mean, we still have a very strong cash position. So as of last quarter, we have 17 million Canadian in the bank. And we're actually expecting to get another 5 or 6 million in the door here over the next 2 weeks from some warrants that are in the money. And so very strong cash position. I'd say, you know, we're fully funded for the next 12 months and beyond, drilling on both projects. So our budget at Diablillos, this phase three 15,000 meter program will cost about $5 million. At La Coipita, I mean, still to be decided, but, you know, roughly say 3 million or so, and overall G&A is about 2 million. So, you know, fully funded for the next year and a half or so, and, you know, lots of catalysts between now and then, I would say.
All right, John, Dave, thank you very much for this update. We'll post a link to the Abra Silver website so everyone can read over the recent news. There's a lot going on with this company now, also adding in this La Coipita project. Again, early stage there, though. If anybody has any follow-up questions, please email us either fleck@kereport.com or shad@kereport.com. John, Dave, please keep us up to date on future news. We'll have you back on the show. We appreciate your time today and the update.
Our pleasure.
Thanks very much, gents.